Okay, normally we start with Parsha, but today we're going to start with Rosh Hashanah, right? Because this is the last time we meet before Rosh Hashanah, so maybe just a little thought on Rosh Hashanah. So there are certain words in the Hebrew language that are like difficult to exactly translate. There are certain words that even seem interchangeable sometimes. I remember when I wrote my first Sefer, so I was working with the editor, and he was saying, over here, do you really mean Ulam or Achein? Or Amnam? I'm like, I don't know, do those words mean anything different from each other? They're just like filler words, you know? It just means, you know, indeed, you know? Like, I don't know, Ulam, Achein, Amnam, does it really matter? And, you know, I would never got a real clear answer on that, like when you use each of those terms. But there's like one, that type of word that seems to make its way into the Yom Tov Shmon Esrei and keeps coming up a lot, and that is the word Uvechein. What does the word Uvechein really add? Uvechein tein pachtecha, Uvechein tein kavod. Just start with the second word. Tein pachtecha, tein kavod. What is Uvechein? It seems almost like an amnam achein ulam kind of. Well, ulam is a little different than amnam and achein, but still, you know, it seems like that kind of word. Furthermore, the Ramah in Simtav Kuf Pei Beis Siftes says that we're knowing to go over to people in Rosh Hashanah night and say L'shana Tova Tikasev, and of course in the Matzah they've added more to that because the later Achronim added more to that. But there's this like actual halacha psukin Shulchan Aruch to go over to someone in Rosh Hashanah night and offer a greeting, a formal greeting to people. You don't find a halacha on Shabbos that there is a formal halacha in Shulchan Aruch to go over and wish good Shabbos. Now some of the Achronim suggest that when the Shulchan Aruch writes that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol, so the Achronim wonder, who cares what you want to call it? Meaning, L'may Nafka Mina LaHalacha, whether it's called Shabbos HaGadol or Shabbos HaKatan or anything else. So some of the Achronim suggest, no, because you want to know how to like greet someone. I think it's Kav Chaim that says like that, that when you greet someone, you want to say Shabbat HaGadol Mivorach, as opposed to Shabbat Shalom or whatever. So, but I don't think that's, you know, I don't think we have in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that it says like, this is the way to greet someone on this day. That the way to greet someone is L'shana Tova Tikasev, and that's what you dafka do on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Of course, it's part of the Jewish experience. You always go over to people and say nice things to people. But, you know, it's just what you do, but it doesn't need to be codified in Shulchan Aruch that that's what you do. So why is there a special emphasis on the greeting on Rosh Hashanah? So I think the Yesod is as follows. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Beis teaches us that kol mevakish rachamim al chavero v'hu tzarich lo sodavar hu nenetchila, that whenever you daven for somebody else first and you have that same need that somebody else has, so hu nenetchila, you're going to be answered first. You daven for somebody else, you're answered first. In fact, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that when we say the short prayer about dreams during Birchas Kohanim, which is one of those things that we're going to be saying a lot in the coming weeks, we should first say Bein Chalom Shechalamti Al Acherim, and only then say Bein Chalom Shechalamti Al Atzmi, because first you focus on what might affect other people, and then you focus on what might affect you. That's part of the kiyum of that gemara called Mevakish Rachamim Al Chavero V'hu Tzarich Lo Sodavar Hu Nenetchila. Rabbi Dram explains V'tiknu Lomar Uvechein Al Shem Uvechein Avo El Amelech L'vishu Atu Yom Hadin V'anu Ba'im V'fei Melech Malchem Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the reason we say Uvechein so much on Yom Noraim is that it's supposed to bring to mind the pasuk in Megillas Esther, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Uvechein Avo El Hamelech. It's supposed to remind us, it's supposed to be reminiscent of Esther going in front of the king, so we too have to recall that we're going in front of the king, and therefore we use the word Uvechein. But if you carry that mashal one step further, maybe there's a specific element of Esther Amalka's visit with Achashveros that's being highlighted. When Esther was going in front of the king, she turned to the people and she said, Sumu alai, that I'm begging you, you need to fast for me, you need to daven for me. I'm going to put myself in harm's way. I need to know that when I come in front of the king, I'm coming backed up with the support of the tfilos of the klal. She was only prepared to enter the king's chamber once she knew that other people were davening for her. Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein suggested that that's maybe the deeper meaning of Uvechein. We're coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with the tefillos of a lot of people behind us, and we're coming to offer those tefillos for other people who are coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have that recognition that all of Klal Yisrael, Kivnei Maron, one by one, are all coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and each of them need to come with the confidence of the tefillos of the Klal behind them. So it's true that on the Yom HaDin, the Mishnah tells us it's Kivnei Maron, it's individually, we have a spotlight on us, but it would be so wonderful if we would take a moment in that spotlight, that one chance that we're given, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, looks at us one by one, and use that time to show concern for others. Use that time to think about other people. Yeah, I may need parnasa, but Ribbono Shel Olam, there are so many people that need parnasa more than I do. Please take care of them. I may know people who are ill, I may have an ill relative, but Ribbono Shel Olam, there are so many Chalei Yisrael. You know, I may have certain dreams and wishes for my children, Ribbono Shel Olam. There are others that have so many more unrealized dreams for their children. I may be davening for someone who's having difficulty. I may be having difficulty with one area in life or another, but there are others that have equal or greater difficulty. And of course, a person has to pray for themselves as well, but to take that into the tefillos as well is a very, very critical idea of Rosh Hashanah. I remember when at my wedding, when I got married, my wife and I were under the chuppah, and Rabbi Talmud Zichron Levracha was called up to read the ksuba. I'm sure I've told the story in the past. And Rabbi Tendler was surprised to see that my wife was like smiling ear to ear under the chuppah, because what he was normally accustomed to is like a very intense chasam and kala under the chuppah, a lot of shuckling and davening and, you know, like very high intensity under the chuppah. So he turned to my wife, and in the way that only Rabbi Tendler could say, he said, "It's so nice to see a smiling kala instead of one who reads the ICU lists from all the local hospitals." You know, he was trying to say that, you know, it's nice to see someone's actually happy and smiling under the chuppah. Now, it's a good idea for chassanim and kalos to smile under the chuppah. I tell that to every chassan and kala. Remember that your mitzvah is to be besimcha, and you should be besimcha at your wedding. But there's also this beautiful minhag of a chassan and kala to give brachos on their wedding day. I don't think this was the practice among my chevra when we got married, but certainly I see it now, that after the wedding there's lines of people just lining up to get their brachos from the chassan and kala. It's a very beautiful, beautiful minhag. Meaning, the world assumes that a wedding day is all about the bride and a little bit about the groom also. Most, you know, 90% about the bride and 2% about the groom. But those are the two people that are involved. They are the center of attention. And for the minhag to be that a chassan and a kala turn that outward, they take that koach or that attention that they have or whatever elevation they've been granted on that day and turn that toward other people, that's a uniquely Jewish thing. You know, I was giving a shiur recently, and there was a shiur that I had given already before, so I needed to chazer. So as I was traveling, you know, from one place to the other, I just played like the last time I gave it, so that I can chazer it up and be prepared. Okay, these are the tricks of the trade, right? So I had said in the shiur, I started the shiur by saying that it's being sponsored, you know, this was given years ago, being sponsored is chus, a safe return for Naftali, Eyal, and Gilad. And, you know, like it brought back like this flood of emotions and memories of that time when those three holy neshamos, when they went missing and Klal Yisrael was davening for them for those 18 days. And one of the enduring emotions of that time was listening to the parents of the boys, mostly articulated by Racheli Frankel, because she's the one that speaks English, and she was such an articulate spokesperson for them, that expressing that feeling as if they were being carried by the collective tefillos of the tzibur. I mean, there is something like that. I mean, sometimes you tell a person, you know, I'm davening for you, and it gives them such chizik. It shouldn't be a lot. You should actually be davening for them when you tell them that. But it gives chizik to know that I'm not in this on my own. I have the tefillos of the tzibur behind me, and that's the uvachein that Esther was hoping for, and that we're trying to duplicate when we come lefnei Hamelech. Rabbi Shmuel Marcus suggested to me that the reason we specially codified Dafka, the good wishes we offer one another on Rosh Hashanah, is that this is meant to frame the entire Yom Tov. Yeah, it's a Yom Hadin. It's our Yom Hadin. Yet the first order of business, before we do anything else on that Yom Tov, we go over L'shana Tova Tikaseinu. we turn it outward to other people, that other people should have a Shana Tova. The Torah in Simchat Kof Aleph quotes a minhag to daven loudly on Yom Noraim. Beis Yosef struggles with this, because normally you're not supposed to daven so loudly. So Beis Yosef gives different reasons why there's such a minhag. But maybe, aside from Beis Yosef's reasons, is that even though we're each coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu individually, we still have to be cognizant of the people around us. When we hear our neighbor crying out, we'll remember to pray for him and his family. And the reason we're normally allowed tefillah b'kol is that it shows a lack of emunah, as if Hashem can't hear our tefillahs. But maybe on Yom Narayim, it's not about, we're not davening loudly so Hashem could hear us. Hashem hears us anyway. We're davening loudly so that others can hear us and we can hear them. Because very often, our tefillah will be answered through them and theirs through us. Even in a practical level, by the way, that happens a lot. That very often we are the answer to other people's tefillahs. Someone could be davening for a shidduch, and we know the person who we can introduce them to, and we just haven't thought about them yet. You know, someone's davening for panasa, we know someone who's looking for, to hire somebody, and we just haven't thought about, you know, connecting them yet. Very often we're in a position to be the answer to other people's tefillahs. But maybe we make a show of that on Rosh Hashanah by davening loudly, so that we can be there for each other. We can hear what the other one needs. You know, and that might be reflected in the mitzvah of shofar itself. You know, who are we blowing the shofar for? Is it for Hashem or is it for us? So, you know, there's a lot of lumdus around the question of whether the mitzvah is a mitzvah shmiya or a mitzvah tkiya. Right, the raya l'shmoa kol shofar is the bracha, so it must be descriptive of the mitzvah. Rav Yonason Sacks suggested that maybe it's both. Tekiah is to Hashem, Shmia is Uri Yishenu Mishinaschem. That's for us. We're on the receiving ends, so we're participating in that tefillah. But it's even more than that. Some people are Genuchi Ganach, some are Yulula Yalil, and some are in a position in their lives where it's just a tekiah, where it's a strong, confident tekiah. But we should hear that entire range of emotions. Someone pointed out, I think it's the Kleisenberger Rebbe pointed out, that shofar is one of the only mitzvahs, might be the only mitzvah, where there is, in advance of the mitzvah, someone prompts you to do the mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah. The way it's performed is someone says, tkiah, and then you blow tkiah. Shvarin, right? Where else do you have, like, no one like says, lulav, you know, or like matzah. I guess matzah we do by the Seder, we do motzi matzah, but not like at the. So that each before each blast, someone's prompting you to do the mitzvah. So Kleisenberger Rebbe suggested that in order to have one's tefillos answered, you have to be a shomea first. You have to be able to hear first. And if you hear others first, then we'll be more able to have our tefillos answered. So I think it's an important hashkafa to have on Yom Noraim, that we come together as a tzibur. You know, I gave them an halacha shir yesterday about saying slichos biyachidos. And the underlying assumption of the whole thing is that it wasn't meant to be said b'yichidus. I mean, there are ways to do it, where you do the Yud Gimel Midos with the trop and whatever. But it wasn't written to be done b'yichidus. It was written to be done as a tzibur, because there's a certain element of koach ha-tzibur. I remember I had a bar mitzvah once of a young man that in my community in North Woodmere, the father of the bar mitzvah boy said that he was talking about the community and the shul, and he said that at one point during Yom Noraim davening, when the kid was a little kid, he started, you know, looking around, as kids tend to do, you know. He was going to, like, say, you know, point to the machzor, you know, look inside, come on, you know, let's go, get back in here, right? And then he looked back at what his son was looking at, and he saw a whole shul full of people with talus over their heads, davening, pouring their hearts out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he said, I said to myself, is there any greater sight that I want my child to see than that? Meaning that's the best thing he could possibly be looking at. So at that moment he said, I realized that, you know, that was going to be the inspiration, and there should be a little bit of that. There's a lot of intensely private moments, but a little bit of looking around and thinking about, you know, how each person is an olam mele, and how each person has their own struggles, their own successes, their own kochos and weaknesses, and things that they need to work on, and things that they're fighting to work on, and to realize that our tefillos will all be better when we come collectively as part of the club. Okay.